Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to be speaking about a particular subject today. I thought it was a little appropriate for what we had spoken about this morning. The middle of this month is my favorite time of the year. Most of the days are in the 70s, the nights are cool. There's still about six more weeks before we hit July in the heat and humidity. And then the sun doesn't set around now till 8:15. So the days of good weather are long. And each spring, God renews his promises of life. The flowers burst through the ground. The trees are full of leaves. The bushes are bursting with new buds. Even the birds seem to be singing louder with a more joyful sound than any other time of the year. I remember I read once in a gospel tract that Martin Luther of the Reformation once said, "Our Lord has written the promise of the resurrection, not only in books alone, but in every leaf of springtime. Nature itself seems to shout, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead." Now, I would ask that you please go to your chapel Bibles and to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. And that is on page 279 in the chapel Bible. 279, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then if we could please turn to Matthew, book of Matthew, or Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And that is on page 1529 of the Chapel Bible. And it's chapter 22. We're going to verse 34. And that again is on page 1529. "But when the Pharisees heard they did silence the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question," meaning Jesus, asked Jesus a question, and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, we know there are numerous ways believers can love the Lord more. This could be through praise, more prayer, more thanksgiving, more service, more writing, more evangelizing, more humbleness, trusting, and more, and on and on. I can go on in all the different ways that we can love our Lord more. But there is also another way to love God more, and that is one that I do not hear that much anymore about. And that is through God's majestic creation of nature. His glorious works, the marvels and the wisdom of nature, was God's first way to make himself known to mankind. And I want to say through this word, I'll be mentioning a little bit of facts about nature and some animal facts to tell you how amazing this our Lord is really is. And in the antediluvian days, which is the pre-flood days, there was no mention in the Bible of altars or temples to worship the Lord. And basically, these civilizations just had nature to observe and see the Lord as is. So I'm going to ask that we go to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 1, and that is on page 1733 in the Chapel Bible, Romans 1 and verse 19. Romans 1:19. "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creepy things." So I'll go to verse 25, another verse down. "Who exchanged the truth of God for the life, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, in the very ancient civilizations of that time period before the flood, such as the Sumerians, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, and other civilizations, they were all guilty of this. They did not worship God, they worshiped creatures and animals. And centuries later, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans as well, they did the same thing. They refused to give God the credit, and so many other civilizations had dozens of gods. And in this world today, we have a made-up female entity called Mother Nature or Mother Earth, who gets all the credit for creating and maintaining nature itself. This is a made-up figure. We don't know where it came from, but it doesn't exist. And so many others believe, unfortunately, in some kind of evolution process for how creation began, where the complexities, the intricacies, and the ecosystems of creation and life itself just all came about by some random chance. And I searched on the internet myself for the total improbability of this. And a physicist named Lee Smolin calculated the odds of life forming by random trial and chance. There's a less than one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power that life could have originated by random luck. 10 to the 40,000th power is a number one with 40,000 zeros after it. So basically, it's essentially impossible. But the world still believes this. So, you know, there's an old saying that some of you may have heard of. I don't hear it much anymore. And that is, take time to stop and smell the roses. And this saying was a way of telling us to slow down and appreciate life's gifts, like nature. There are a few brothers and sisters here, me included, who lived their childhood in the 60s and 70s. I won't call attention to their names because they're older like me, but they know who they are. And that time was a much simpler, slower pace of life. Most of my childhood free time was spent outdoors or exploring in the woods with my friends. And that's where I got my first appreciation of nature. At that time, there were no smartphones, no computers, no video games, no social media, and the biggie, no ESPN. Just a landline telephone, a radio, and a TV. And there wasn't all these school sports practices and games, which seem to occur every day now. It was truly a different way of life. So I'm going to go into my first statistics here, and I'm going to bring up birds. Birds are my favorite creature. They always have been. Their singing and graceful flight still amazes and fascinates me. I know the Culkins said their mother loved birds as well. There were over 50 billion birds in the world, or 6 birds for every human. Birds are mentioned numerous times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are over 11,000 species of birds living in the world right now, and 120 of them are songbirds. Songbirds have a unique singing body part near their heart called a sonnex, similar to a larynx, but it's pronounced sonnex. And this amazing thing produces 2 musical tones at once, one low and one high. So they both sing that at the same time. A high note and a low note at the same time. It's like having 2 voice boxes at once. Songbirds like the wren, for instance, sing on a different music time scale than humans, so it's impossible for us to hear all their song notes, which only lasts 1 or 2 milliseconds. And another bird called a catbird can sing over 100 songs, which can imitate other birds. They can imitate squirrels, frogs, cats, and actually human-made noises, such as lawnmowers and others, sometimes for over 1.5 minutes. So how amazing creative is our God? You know, Charles Darwin, the main person behind the theory of evolution, was convinced, and he wrote it down and convinced, that only male songbirds sing to attract a mate, not females. But bird scientists have discovered now that in the southern hemisphere, many female birds do sing to attract a mate, proving Darwin incorrect. So there are a number of chapters and verses in the Bible that tell how nature can teach us not to be anxious or fearful or worried for anything. God has it under his control, all his control. So I'm going to ask that we go back to the book of Matthew and go to chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 25. And that is on page 1499 in the Chapel Bible. That's Matthew 6. 25, page 1499. And this is Jesus speaking, Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, or what you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And we'll stop there. Now, the word arrayed has several meanings, but in this particular context, Jesus meant it is arrayed can mean addressing or decorating in a beautiful or impressive attire. So Jesus was saying that these lilies were more impressive than Solomon's attire. And Jesus tells us of the beauty of these lilies and their lack of worry. Therefore, God, who created these picturesque lilies and all of nature, the planets, the stars, the galaxy, and the subatomic particles that bind it all together, surely we can trust him with all our cares and worries. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. In such beauty, we can get a look of the perfection of God's creation, and how wonderful it is to realize we can know and trust our awesome Creator God in this way. In Isaiah 40, verse 12, it says, God has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, calculated the dust of the earth, measured heaven in a span, and weighed the mountains in scales. Now, 70% of the earth is covered in water. So he has it in his hands. That is 1.4 sextillion liters of water. That is a 22-digit number. He knows every speck of dust. He set up the heavens with the stars and the planets. And you cannot help but be in wonder of his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence in all of creation. I have some more facts for you and figures. This may bother some people because it has to do with insects, reptiles, and amphibians. I know a lot of people creeped out about those. This is amazing statistics. There are 10 quintillion individual insects alive at any given time on Earth. Quintillion has 18 zeros. That's 1.4 billion insects for every human. And there's over 925,000 insect species which have been identified so far. There are over 12,000 reptile species, 6 billion lizards alone in the wild, and over 8,700 species of amphibians in the wild. Scientists are unable to determine the total population of reptiles and amphibians due to the inaccessibility of where they live. Now we know that insects and frogs were used as a form of punishment by God to show his great power, wisdom, and control over the natural world. In the book of Exodus, God used lice, flies, locusts, and frogs as punishment to Pharaoh for his disrespect and his non-belief of what the God of Moses could do. In Proverbs 30, verse 24, it tells us how ants, locusts, and lizards are little on the earth, but exceedingly wise. Many people consider insects solely as pests, nothing more. But one out of every three things human beings eat depends on insect pollinators, like bees, butterflies, moths, and beetles. Many different animals and plants are mentioned and used by God in the Bible. He used ravens to feed Elijah. He used a giant fish, or could be a whale, to swallow Jonah. And then he provided a plant for Jonah to provide shade. And then a worm came to eat Jonah's shade plant. We have Balaam and his talking donkey in the book of Numbers. Noah and all the animals in the ark, and the dove that was released from the ark after the rain stopped. Now God has also used his creation and his nature to humble us and remove our self-importance and pride, and to reveal his great wisdom. through creation. Many examples of this is in the book of Job, chapters 38, 39, 40, and 41. Specifically, God, through those chapters, God asked Job many, many questions about his creation. Job could not answer the Lord. He could not give him a response. And afterward, Job abhorred himself and repented in dust and ashes. And even today, during these terrible weather-related tragedies that we see almost every week and mass destruction, it's a solemn reminder to us of God's great power and who's really in charge, and it humbles us. But nature also encourages us. It lifts us up and makes one realize all is possible with God. I've been very blessed to be working from home since 2022. And behind my condo deck is 4 acres of wetlands and woods. And I think of all the birds that I've seen and I've heard their singing, the hawks that I've seen riding the thermals, and all the creatures, different creatures I've seen. And I realize how this has helped me get through difficult times and how it has taught me patience. God has showed me through his incredible creation that I can love and trust him more and more with trials and difficulties when they come. About a month ago, I was going through a particular pain problem, and I had to stop at my boss's house, who lives in Franklin Lakes, for a work-related matter. And in his backyard, he has a lake back there. And directly across this lake, on the other side, is a $20 million Italian village-style mansion. $20 million. And I was looking at that across the lake. Just then, a majestic bald eagle took off from a limb in flight and soared over that lake for about 30 seconds. And brothers and sisters, to me, that eagle was more beautiful and more glorious than a $20 million mansion. And it was then that I've thought of Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So there's many chapters in the Psalms also, multiple hymns of praise and worship in the Psalms for God's awesome creation. So I'll ask that we go to Psalm 104, which is page 934 in the Chapel Bible. Psalm 104, page 934 in the Chapel Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You who cover yourself with the light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits. He ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so it would not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for cattle, the vegetation for the service of man. He may bring forth food from the earth, and the wine makes glad the heart of man. Oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nest. The stork has a home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar, and their prey after their prey, and they seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. the great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And we'll stop there. There's other psalms as well that I'll mention we won't read. In Psalm 136, verse 1 and 9, it tells of God's achievements in creation. And all the 26 verses in that psalm ends with, "For his steadfast mercy endures forever." Psalm 29 is King David's hymn of praise for God's awesome power during a thunderstorm. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9, is King David's hymn of praise and humbleness. It humbles David when he observes the heavens, the moon, and the stars. What is man that you are mindful of him? Human beings that you care for them. And Psalm 148 is a hymn of praise and love from all of God's creation. The land, the mountains, the water, the weather, the sun, moon, trees, livestock, animals, birds, insects, sea creatures, all in a worldwide praise to God. Some of you may have heard of a man called John Muir. He lived from 1839 to 1914, and he was a naturalist, a botanist, a zoologist, an environmentalist who was born in Scotland. He immigrated to America in 1849 and lived and traveled in many places in North America, but he spent the good majority of his time in America in the Sierra Nevada Mountains of California. He helped give birth to the National Park Service, Yosemite National Park, Sequoia National Park, and the Sierra Club. He was a man of faith and spirituality who had profound experiences in these mountains. He said nature and the mountains were God's first great temple, and he kept a journal where he was there. And when he was observing the giant redwoods of Northern California, he wrote, "It looks like these giants of God's great army had just marched into their stations, every one placed just right. To think that God should plan to bring us creatures here at that right moment and show such glories to us. We're surely not worthy of such an honor." There was also a location in Yosemite called Cathedral Peak that had these pools of crystal clear water in them, and these pools were high up in elevation. And he wrote that every ray of the sun, or plant, or flower, or stone reflecting in these pools was a window opening to heaven and mere reflecting the Creator. You know, the world today uses OMG a lot. You know, everybody knows what OMG stands for. I'm not going to say it. And it's everywhere. It's in news. It's entertainment. It's an everyday conversation. It's used at work, used on social media, and all over. And my humble opinion is it's truly appropriate for places like Niagara Falls, or the Grand Canyon, or Yellowstone, or when you're scanning the night skies in awe of the natural beauty of God's creation. And John Muir used the forests and mountains as his prayer location. "Just being in nature myself brings me closer to God. It brings a stillness, a silence, an opportunity to escape the hustle and bustle of our world." Just down the road from here, there's Trails and Camp Gore Reservation where you can hike for just 20 minutes and find a location where there's no outside world distractions. No cars, no voices, no leaf blowers, no homes around, and there's even no cell phone service. Just absolute peace and calm. Only the sound of the birds and insects and the wind blowing through the trees. And it lovingly offers me a great, quiet closet time with our Lord in prayer. In the Gospels, it tells of Jesus leaving for the wilderness or mountains into the wilderness and praying. In Luke 5:16, it says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Luke 6:12 says, "Now it came to pass in those days he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." And in Luke 9, verse 28, he went up on the mountain to pray with Peter, John, and James during the transfiguration. I found this little gospel tract outside. I think it came from Brother Steve. And it says, America the Beautiful. And I read it, and that song, America the Beautiful, was written by a woman, Catherine Lee Bates, in 1893, when she went to the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado. Inspired by the beauty of the view, she wrote all four verses of America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious sky, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, around up to 125 years ago, America was still basically what's called an agrarian society. Agrarian means we were mostly still farming. We worked outside mostly, we planted and harvested crops, and we spent most of our time outdoors. Now medical scientists say modern society has something called nature deficit disorder, which is described as a disconnect from nature due to increased reliance on technology, living in urban cities, and time spent outdoors. And some people don't realize nature is great for your physical and mental health. Multiple medical studies have shown that looking at nature or being in nature or hearing the sounds of nature, it lowers our blood pressure. It calms and relaxes us, relieves anxiety and stress, helps us to focus and clear out our distracted minds. Even just looking at a photo or video of nature, just smelling a flower, almost has the same health effects as being in nature. Our own pets are beneficial to us as well. Just petting a dog or cat lowers your blood pressure. So we should remember to thank and praise the Lord for our pets too. And I guess for the Sanchez's, that could go for their chickens and ducks and other animals they have. There are 3.5 trillion fish in the world, 130 billion wild mammals in the world, over 3 trillion trees, 400 trees for every human, 400,000 flowering plant species, and over 300,000 plant species. God's great diversity, remarkable food chain, feeds, clothes, protects, and provides for us each and every day. Many pharmaceuticals and medicines that we use that are being used today are plant-based from God's handiwork. He provides all. Praise the Lord. And here's the one last and most amazing statistics I'm going to tell you today. In 2016, scientists reported over 1 trillion living species that we know of, but only 1% of that has been described. 91% of all living species have not even been discovered yet. And will never be discovered. You know, mankind loves to boast. He loves to show off and take credit for all the achievements and accomplishments he has done in these thousands of years on Earth. Mankind may have made all these things and their forms, but without the substances needed that only God created and provided first, man can make nothing. It is my humble opinion that all mankind has ever undertaken and made and achieved would only fit on the head of a pin, compared to what Almighty God has created and designed. You know, we all eagerly await the new and more glorious creation to come, as it says in Romans 8, verse 21 and 22, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Isaiah 65, 25 says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw, like the ox, and a future time is coming of peace and harmony. A restoration of creation to its intended order before the fall and the Garden of Eden. Pressed for time here, so I'm going to just close with this. I moved to Marwa over 20 years ago to be closer to nature in the wild. Now as a believer, I can appreciate it so much more and give praise and thanks to God in a more spiritual way. I have also used nature and creation to my skeptic, non-believing friends and family to show that God does live and he exists. They say to me, we can't see God, or hear him, or feel him, or experience him. And I say, just step outside, look around, and observe nature and creation as it is, some of it untouched by man for thousands of years. Jonathan Edwards, the Puritan theologian who lived in America in the 1700s and was credited for starting the Great Awakening, said, quote, nature is God's greatest evangelist. The Reverend Billy Graham used to take walks on his North Carolina farm, which had woods around it, and he said whenever he took a walk in nature, he felt a reverence for the Lord, and he spelled it R-E-V-A-W-E, like awe, a reverence for the Lord. So brothers and sisters, as I close, may I suggest to take a pause for just a little while from your smartphones, TV, laptops, and other gadgets. Take a break from work and the crazy busyness of life and step outside, only if it's your only backyard, and witness God's glory for yourself. It is a pleasing and excellent way to love the Lord God with more of your heart, more of your soul, more of your mind, and more of your strength. And Jesus Christ, we know, was also co-creator of creation. So we are giving an extra dose of love to him as well. So brothers and sisters, may I suggest to remember to take time to stop and smell the roses. May we close in prayer. O merciful God and Father, we thank you for letting us come here today and sing the praises of your great creation and how you show us each and every day that you provide and care for us, you feed us, you clothe us, and you give us all that we need. Your son Jesus told us not to worry and be anxious for everything. So we thank you and bless you for the creation that we have, that we can take time and get closer to you and realize that these creations are so much more beautiful and incredible than the technologies that mankind has created. So we pray for traveling mercies on the way home. We pray for our upcoming annual meeting here starting in a few minutes. And we give you all the praise and the glory in your blessed Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.